Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and this morning we're going to talk about North Carolina public education and some current events and legislation. I have on the phone with me the chairman of our public education committee, Kim Fink, and with her is Catherine Wyatt. And Kim, what's going on?
There's a lot of stuff, Rick. I keep getting myself confused between Senate bills and House bills, but we'll do the best we can. The first one that I wanted to talk about this morning was a general discontent within our state in the Senate and in the House with the Department of Public Instruction. June Atkinson is our current DPI superintendent, and the House has a bill, House Bill 202, that is entitled An Act to Make the Superintendent of Public Instruction a Member of the State Board of Education and to Make Conforming Changes to the General Statute. Well, what that would do would be to actually give June Atkinson a vote on the board. If she's no longer the DPI superintendent, who doesn't have a vote, and it would also make her the chief administrative officer, so she retains all of her power and gets a vote. So we definitely don't like that one.
Right. And some people already have some issues with her over a perceived conflict of interest, don't they?
Correct, because June Atkinson is the president of the Council of Chief State School Officers, which is one of the two entities that has the copyright of Common Core. And as you know, that's been a continuing issue within the Academic Research, the Academic Standards Review Commission, because they have asked for a waiver from that copyright so that they could make changes as they feel their charge was from the General Assembly bill passed last year to repeal and replace Common Core. June has not given a waiver and says that one is not needed. So it's just interesting how it seems to be playing into her hands of power and control.
Right. So it also, doesn't this bill also take away her, she's an elected official right now. Doesn't this make her an appointed official if this bill passed?
Correct. But that goes into the Senate bill. And the Senate bill is Senate Bill 94, and it's titled An Act to Amend the Constitution of the North Carolina to Simplify the Management of Public, Primary, and Secondary Education by Providing for a Secretary of Education to Replace the Current System of Superintendent of Public Instruction and the State Board of Education. Now, that would take away the people's voice, so I am definitely against that. Even though being party-oriented right now, it could act in the favor of a conservative. I don't trust all of the appointments that our supposedly conservative governor has made to date, so I'm not so sure we wouldn't be jumping out of the fire and into the frying pan.
Kim, you know, I not only think that, but I think it takes away one place where parents and other members of the public who are not members of the educational committee can at least have a say in who's running things. And sometimes that is very, very good thing to have. June Atkinson has been superintendent of public instruction just slightly short of forever.
Yeah.
And she has a very arrogant attitude about what she can and can't do and what, and she just ignores what
right.
people say.
Well, part of...
I think the track record speaks a lot. I mean, how much is education improved and, you know, how are we advancing here in North Carolina under her leadership?
You're right, Rick. Education in North Carolina right now is dismal.
Well, I think part of the issues are, and I want to give an example of what actually happened and I think is why these bills are in, being considered in the first place. Last year, we had the Founding Principles Act was supposed to be implemented in the schools in the 2014-15 school year.
Right. And that was House Bill 588.
Correct. And what we found out was that nobody was complying with that. And there was a lot of controversy in the General Assembly through the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee on Education about interpretation of what that bill was charging the schools to do. So this year, they've come out with two bills to try to fix what didn't get fixed in the first bill. And that is just so frustrating for me as a citizen and a taxpayer. It seems to me like they would have better things to do with their time than trying to enforce something they passed the year before. But
it seems to me the original bill was very clear. It said, this is what you will teach. It will be a class. It will not be part of another class. It will not be modified to another class. You can't make it a little easier or do this or that. It says that you must know about the fundamentals of our government and our society.
What they did, as far as DPI is concerned, was they just changed the name of the civics and economics class to add the founding principles to it, and then reported out that the intent and spirit of the law was being met, even though it wasn't called the Founding Principles Act, and didn't meet for a semester.
Nuts to that. It says you're supposed to teach the founding principles. You're supposed to teach the founding principles. The intent doesn't care. The words say do this.
So Senate Bill 524 is a graduation requirement for the founding principles, and it's entitled An Act to Enhance the Rigor, and boy, I hate that word, of instruction of the founding principles. And this takes civic literacy to the State Board of Education, that the State Board requires this because local boards are not doing it, and it includes the instruction of, and it doesn't say at least the following, it says of the following, and then it lists them, and it includes constitutional limitations, and it includes money, and it includes defense, and it includes our alliances with our friends, and it just reinforces what the principles were that made this country great. So I'm definitely in favor of that as a graduation requirement, because the LEAs keep saying, well, those decisions are made above our head, go to Raleigh. This is taking it to Raleigh, and it'll be their job to make sure the LEAs are doing it.
Kim, explain what an LEA is.
Local Education Authority.
Okay. You've got to remember, you and I know that, but there's a lot of people that don't. So Local Education Authority. In other words, your local school board.
Right.
Right.
Well, Kim, you're talking about new legislation that's going to be presented and voted upon. And, you know, it kind of seems like a fruitless effort because you've already got legislation that cannot be enforced or is not being enforced. So what do we do?
Well, I think people need to start going to their school board meetings because the school board feels like, and I do too, there's so much apathy out there. People don't show up and voice their opinion. Not to speak is to speak. They think if you don't complain, everything's okay. And people seem to have such busy lives that until their own ox is gored, they don't see what's going on in front of them, and they don't understand what we're really losing.
You know, Rick, there are other ways to get to, but if you can't go to a school board, call the school board office. Send an email, go on their website and place a comment there, or actually sit down and write a good old-fashioned letter. All those are ways to get hold of your school board to say, yes, I agree with this. You're not educating my child right. Do it properly.
I agree, Catherine. We need to pause right here and take a break to hear from our sponsor. So please stay tuned and join us in just a moment. All right, welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. In the studios, Catherine White and Kim Fink. And Kim, you want to pick up where we left off?
I don't know if you knew this or not. In one of my conversations with one of our representatives, I was complaining about history being rewritten in the English language arts arena under the guise of informational text. I think we talked about that on a previous show. But one of the bills that has been introduced in the House, I love because it addresses the issue that I put forth, which was if these kids, say they're here as English as a second language, if they're an immigrant child, and they're being given history in high school and then go to take a citizenship test, how are they going to pass it? Because what they're being taught isn't what's on the citizenship test. So in the House, House Bill 176 is an act that would require all high school students to take the civics portion of the naturalization test that's used by the United States Citizen and Immigration Services. I think that would show you who's teaching civics and who's teaching history and who's not, who's being indoctrinated and who's not. So I really like that bill. But to move on to another topic that should interest everybody, I mean, we were talking about the founding principles, and that's kind of my hot spot because I'm a history buff. But my worry is the Big Brother aspect of all of this. And there's a lot of data mining that's going on in schools through the state longitudinal data system that was required from Race to the Top. Well, now there's a second data system that's connecting that wants to connect that, and it would authorize data sharing between the No Child Left Behind state longitudinal data system and the state. So what it would do is allow sharing of data by the Division of Employment, by motor vehicles, with the schools. And that's a nationwide system versus a state system. This is House Bill 401, and I would encourage all of our listeners to just go to the ncleg.net website, that's North Carolina General Assembly website, and they have a find a bill section and put in H401. Everybody needs to read this bill because it's allowing the Division of Motor Vehicles to disclose Social Security numbers, to share Social Security numbers with the North Carolina preschool to 20 workforce, which is our state longitudinal data system through Race to the Top. It requires unemployment levels to go onto that data system. It amends how student identifiers are shared. And they talk about student identifiers as Social Security numbers, but each student is also given an ID number. And further on in this bill, it talks about de-identifying identifiers. So I'm not real sure what that means. You know, are we going to know who they are by person or by a number, or is it connect the dots, or is it encrypted? How is your data protected?
Kim, 20 years ago, I was an administrator with a school district in a northern state, and we collected data on our students. And I can tell you then, any record may not have had the student's name on it, but if you have any kind of identifier number on it, you can get the name. It's a simple computer search. It is not good to have this shared with anybody. Well, see, I don't think it's good to collect it because they're not just collecting name and age and birth date and Social Security number. They're talking about collecting all kinds of other information. How many people in the family? How much income? Where do they live? Have there been any Could someone have been arrested for child abuse in the family? All kinds of things. And if they keep doing this, as you merge the records, if you merge the records of this and then you merge the records of gun registrations, you now have what household has a gun and what danger there is from that household. This is not a good thing in any way, shape, or form. Privacy is not a four-letter word, and there are some things that the school district nor no one else needs to know about your family.
Absolutely. Well, ladies, we're going to have to take a short break here. Kim, it sounds like there is a lot going on, and we'll touch on some more in just a moment. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. In the studio with me, not actually in the studio, they're on the telephone, is Kim Fink and Catherine White, and we're talking about public education in North Carolina. Kim, recently, last month actually, CCTA partnered with a group called the North Carolina Freedom Academic Alliance. And we held a special event on a Saturday. It was a four-hour event to where they introduced a new plan that's an alternative to Common Core in North Carolina, and it's called the North Carolina Plan. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Oh, I would love to, Rick, but this is just an example of what a grassroots group of people networking across the state can do, because this began with people who met at the actual General Assembly meetings, and we just all started talking together and networking, and somebody was smart enough to organize. And we have been fortunate in CCTA that we had enough people that were interested in going to meetings, and we were blessed that Jerry Egoff from our group went to the meeting, and his background is amazing, but he's a speed reader, which was truly a blessing, but he teaches critical thinking to Marines, so he had an idea of what was lacking in the Common Core standards, and he had become the curriculum expert. And one of the big things that they've done is they molded this program after things that had been tested and true and successful in the past. You know, go away from new and improved and return to the tried and true. And this plan is based on the Greensboro plan from more than 20, 25 years ago. And they were based in critical thinking, and not the bastardized critical thinking of, here is the answer, now you prove how I got it, to, here's the question, and you have to come up with both sides of the argument to prove critical thinking, not one side. Like in an old debate that we used to have when we were in high school.
All right. And well, you know, as you were mentioning, under the Greensboro plan in the past, students excelled. And it's a proven method. It works, and there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to return to that.
Right, and it's amazing because this this plan has gotten pressed from Breitbart, and we've got like the Americans for Prosperity and Freedom Works. We've got Dr. Sandra Stotsky and Dr. Milgram have seen what we've come up with to date, and they have indicated approval on the direction that we're headed. Now, our fight is going to not necessarily be just with legislature. It's the big business. It's Gates and Pearson and SAS. It's the money.
Right.
And I don't know how best to get people to see our plan and say, you know, look at the cost that's associated with implementing Common Core. Convert it to what it would cost to do this that's already done. It's already proven. It's already field tested. It's not going to cost as much to implement.
I like the fact particularly that it's field tested.
Right.
Common Core was not tested at all before it was implemented.
I think the best way to introduce people to it and for them to get to know more about it is if they'll just go to YouTube and search on the North Carolina plan or Common Core North Carolina plan. Jerry and his group put together a number of videos that are up there, and you can also go to Breitbart and search on it there, and you'll find the article that was written. And in talking with Jerry recently, he indicated that since they did those videos and the Breitbart interview was done, that there's been over 12 states that have contacted about wanting to get on board and find out more about this plan. So we're in the process of meeting and organizing for some of that. But a lot of information is already out there about it if people will just search for the North Carolina plan and maybe Common Core North Carolina plan.
But one thing that I would like people to realize is we're not looking for another nationalized education system. That's not what our collusion and cooperation is about, because we oppose federal education as imposing national standards across the country. But when we're talking with the other states, we're addressing issues like, well, how did you get around this? Who did you talk to address race to the top funding?
Right.
How are you to maintain your state waiver? Do you think your Title I or Title V funds are going to be at risk? It's that kind of thing that we're helping each other with, because we're not trying to dictate standards across the country like Common Core did.
That's a good, very good point, because that is what it is. We want each of them, through sharing our information and how we accomplish things, to be able to create their own plan for their own state. And we're getting
right.
Close to running out of time here. So I do want to point out that all that information is linked off of our website at cctaxpayers.com. Go to the Issues tab and click on Public Education. There's a lot of information available there.
That's right. And there's also meetings set up across the state for introductions to the North Carolina plan. There's going to be one in Asheville. I don't know the exact date, but it would be on the site as the Common Core North Carolina Academic Freedom site. And then there's going to be one in Raleigh as well, and people can attend those meetings and get information.
Very well. Okay, well, ladies, I do appreciate you spending some time with me on the phone this morning. A lot of information to get out to the public and a lot to consume and understand, but you know, it's like you mentioned before, it's what can be accomplished when grassroots efforts get together, when parents and individuals get involved and actually go to the school board meetings, go to the legislative meetings and hearings. That's how all this got started and how it so much has been accomplished. So thanks again, and we'll be talking to you all later.
One more thing, Rick, before you end this. There is a meeting on Monday, this coming Monday, in Raleigh at the Academic Standards Review Commission. They meet from 1 to 5, and they meet in the DPI building. But this will be an opportunity for people to actually attend and see what's going on in this review meetings.
Absolutely. And there's a group from CCTA will be going and attending. So if you go to our website and go to the contact page, get in touch with us if you're interested in going. That is this Monday, April the 20th. And then on April 21st, Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. downtown Newbern at the Stanley Hall Ballroom is our regular monthly public meeting. Our guest speaker this month is Dr. Jay Singleton. He'll be speaking to us about North Carolina's Certificate of Need Law. And this is one that you all need to be interested in because it drives your health care costs up significantly. Dr. Singleton will be citing personal experience regarding the limitations to his own practice called primarily by the North Carolina Certificate of Need Laws. And Dr. Singleton maintains that the CON, Certificate of Need, is the way government protects hospitals from competition. And believe me, hospitals don't want these surgery centers set up. So this has created large hospital corporations which serve as bullies in our state, more or less. And if they had risen to these great heights through fair competition at low rates and high quality, that would be one thing, but that's not the way it works under the Certificate of Need Laws. The ones with all the money hoard the certificates so that independent surgery centers can't be established, and you pay quite a bit more for the services when you go to the hospital to get them. So that's Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Hope y'all will join us there. Again, I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. It's been a pleasure being with you today. And I hope you'll join us again next Friday for CCTA Wake Up Call.